السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. My most respected ulama ikram, huffaz ikram, respected elders and our dear brothers and young friends. Alhamdulillah, with the infinite grace, mercy and fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have emerged from a very beautiful and blessed month of Ramadan, Ramadan al-Mubarak. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make Ramadan truly Mubarak and blessed for us. And the true blessing of Ramadan is for a person to have achieved and acquired the purpose of Ramadan al-Mubarak. And the purpose of Ramadan is in essence the purpose of our life. And in a very broad sense, the purpose of the life of a mu'min and a believer is to acquire the elusive quality and attribute of taqwa, of Allah consciousness, and of all the disciplines that are the attributes of taqwa and Allah consciousness. So therefore, we find that the pious of this ummah, after the month of Ramadan, they would spend the period of post-Ramadan in two ways. One would be a process whereby they would be profusely grateful to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for the opportunity to enjoy the month of Ramadan. This is a very important aspect and fundamental in the development of our spirituality. And that is the aspect of gratitude and shukr. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted us life, and Allah granted us health, and Allah granted us tawfiq and guidance and ability. وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. That there is no tawfiq, there is no ability. We really have nothing within us and in us if it is not for the fadl of Allah. وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ مَا زَكَى مِنْكُمْ مِنْ أَحَدٍ أَبَدًا. Allah makes it very clear in the Quran al-Kareem that it is Allah's sheer mercy, His fadl, His grace, His rahmah upon us, that Allah gave us the tawfiq, the ability and the guidance to do whatever we had done in the month of Ramadan. And for this, it should invoke within us a great and deep sense of gratitude and shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, if a person is not grateful, then it can turn out that a person becomes ungrateful. And may Allah protect us from nashukri and ingratitude, that I wasn't able to do this, I didn't do this, I couldn't do this, etc. So this was one reflection that the pious sages of the ummah used to engage in the aftermath of the month of Ramadan. And the other important aspect and facet was the aspect of regret and remorse and seeking the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the shortcomings, for the inattentiveness, for the lack of attention and application. And the reality is that no matter how much a person strove, a person could have strove to the maximum. And that is why a person makes shukr to Allah and is grateful to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for the ability to strive and for what he tried. However, within all of that, there is the aspect of deficiency, of weakness, of lack of good intention, of lack of attentiveness, and for this we seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The pious people, my dear friends, we have heard from the mashayikh and the scholars that they used to do the highest levels of ibadah. Great ibadah they used to do. But after doing all of that, they would find the need to make istighfar and seek forgiveness for the deficiencies in the ibadah. Our condition is such that we do not even acquire or do a fraction of what they used to do. Yet at times we do not find the need to make istighfar and to seek forgiveness over our weaknesses and our lack of attention and our lack of application. So therefore, these two aspects are fundamental and important, that we should steep ourselves in gratitude and shukr to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. With that, we will attain Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's grand pleasure, and Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala would increase us in our steadfastness, in our ability to continue with good deeds. And together with that, we do not attribute anything to ourselves. Nothing has come from our side, O Allah. It is the tawfiq and the guidance that you have blessed us with and imbued us with that we are attributing everything to. And inshallah, in this way, we will then be able to proceed from Ramadan with a positive approach, with a lot of hope and with steadfastness. The other aspect that the pious used to then focus upon in the aftermath of Ramadan, some have said that they used to divide it into two phases. One is the 6 months after Ramadan, where a lot of gratitude used to be expressed and a lot of istighfar and tawbah used to be made. And then in the next 6 months, in the approach of the next Ramadan, they would then begin to express an eagerness for seeing the Ramadan to come. And that would be coupled also with a lot of dua and a state of preparation and preparedness for the next month of Ramadan. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has alluded to this, the different phases of the life of a believer and a mu'min. The first phase of reformation, of purification, and of rehabilitation of a believer and a mu'min is the 5 daily salah. As-salawatul khams. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes a reference to the process of the 5 daily salah, salawatul khams. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, wal jumu'ah ila al jumu'ah. The next phase of development is from one jumu'ah to the next jumu'ah. And the third phase is wa ramadan ila ramadan. And all of this serves a very high purpose. This becomes the means of mukaffiratun lidhunub. It becomes a means of cleansing a person, a means of forgiveness and purification for a person, provided with one proviso, and that is إِذَا اجْتَنَبَ الْكَبَائِرِ أو كَمَا قَالَ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. As long as a person abstains from premeditated sin, from the great and major sins, from the intent of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if that is abstained from, then it is inevitable that a person will commit errors along the way. Every human being has a propensity and is inclined towards errors and wrongdoing and sin. And that gets washed away through the different cleansing processes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept for us between the salahs, between one Jumu'ah to the next, and from one Ramadan to the next Ramadan. So let us ask ourselves that what has the month of Ramadan truly brought to us? What was the fundamental thing, what was the fundamental takeaway from the month of Ramadan? And it is a very simple formula, it is a very simple understanding, and that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept the month of Ramadan for us to revert back to the basics of our life. What is the basic need of our life? What is the basic purpose of our life? And that is nothing else but لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to grant us this very important quality and ability and capacity of taqwa, of Allah consciousness, of realizing the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout our day and night. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the early years of his nubuwa and his mission, for the 13 years in Makkatul Mukarramah, spent the entire period developing the capacity of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala. It was an entire period of self-development, of becoming truly and fully conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the obedience of Allah, the greatness of Allah, and the ability to be able to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and further to serve the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to serve humanity. This is the purpose of existence of a mu'min and a believer. It is an individual process of self-development, self-rectification, rehabilitation. And thereafter, when a person develops this ability and capacity, then this now allows a person the ability to be able to serve others, to serve the ummah, and to serve humanity. So therefore, the first 13 years of Makkah, Al-Mukarramah, were not spent in da'wah, were not spent in jihad, were not spent in any other form of collective mission to promote the ideals of Islam. But they were confined to developing the individuals who would ultimately then become the torchbearers of the collective advancement of Islam in the world. And the seerah is an open book, my dear friends. We found that when the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum developed that true inner strength, the capacity, the ability to influence, the power, the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was brimming and burning within their bosoms. It was a fire, it was a light that would give light to anyone who came to seek that light. Then we found that the fire spread. The flame was passed on very quickly and very easily. Why? Because it was developed and it was embedded. And thereafter it could be shared and it could be promoted and propagated. So therefore we find that taqwa and Allah consciousness is really the platform. It is the essence. It is the starting point. It is the basic from which we work. We want to try and build the ummah. We want victory for the ummah. We want the unity of the ummah. We want to see the ummah advance and progress and succeed. We have to start right from the foundation. We have to have a strong foundation for the building to become strong. And that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us this beautiful and important month of Ramadan al-Mubarak for us to be able to reflect, to check, to reassess, to evaluate, to navigate within ourselves. What is our intention? What is our niyat? What is the state of our inner selves? What is our condition? And that would then help us with self-rectification. And when we are able to individually develop ourselves, strengthen ourselves, find ourselves through reflection, through ibadah, through muhasabah, through tawbah, through dhikr, through tilawa, through all of these aspects of the month of Ramadan that brought, the month of Ramadan brought into our lives, then, my dear friends, it becomes a process now where a person becomes a person of understanding. He begins to now realize. He begins to be able to see. And thereafter he is able to act. So, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the barakah of this month of Ramadan to help us to persevere and to continue and to be steadfast upon the gains of Ramadan. It is very easy to squander what has been gained, because we know the environment out of Ramadan is not like the environment and the atmosphere of Ramadan. And at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not require us to be at the same level, at the same optimum level of practice and of ibadah and of mujahada and striving as we were in the month of Ramadan. That is not really required. The month of Ramadan was the process of training and understanding and realization and finding one's reality. After the month of Ramadan, the adjustment in the routine takes place. We come back to a normal sort of routine, but we keep the fundamentals in place. In Ramadan, we gain the insight and the understanding of the importance of salah. Every person was concerned about the time of salah, the attendance of salah in congregation. We found that the neglect of salah had lessened in the month of Ramadan. And the importance to salah was gained and elevated. And like that, everything else in the month of Ramadan changed. So therefore, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala in the month of Ramadan, after the month of Ramadan, does not expect us to continue at that same level, because we will not be able to sustain that. But what we will be able to attain and sustain is the fundamentals and the takeaway lessons from the month of Ramadan. And that is the importance of staying away from the disobedience of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. The important lesson that a person learned during fasting, where at every second a person was conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in terms of not breaking the command of Allah. Any person in the month of Ramadan was offered the opportunity to break the command of Allah whilst he was fasting, he would without hesitation refuse the opportunity. That I am fasting, I will not break the command of Allah, no matter what you offer the person. So this spirit and this fundamental of Allah's obedience has to be carried through after the month of Ramadan. And like that, all the other beautiful attributes that were learnt in the month of Ramadan must be carried through. And what are the factors? What are these attributes? What does taqwa represent? There are many factors that a person who is a muttaqi, a person who has taqwa in him, should uphold. And among these factors, one of the fundamental factors that a person upholds is the aspect of respect. That in a month of Ramadan, we understood the importance of respecting the order of Allah. We understood the importance of respecting the deen of Allah. And we understood the importance of respecting everything that is noble and that is sacred in the deen. The respect of the kalima la ilaha illallah, the respect of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands, the respect of the sha'air of Islam, the noble salient features of Islam. All of this insight was gained in the month of Ramadan. And therefore, we found that in the month of Ramadan, we were able to uphold this respect. And one of the factors of respect is to respect the honor and the sanctity and the dignity of our Muslim brother. This is an important fundamental in the important aspect or factor of respect. And this we found in the month of Ramadan, that how much of adab and respect there was for each other. There was not a person would be frustrated with something, a person would be impatient, or he would become upset and restless about something, but he would say that I am fasting. A person would say it is the month of Ramadan. I cannot harm anyone. I cannot swear anyone. I cannot denigrate anyone. And we found that there was an air of harmony in the month of Ramadan. We were able to get along with each other like brothers. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةَ Allah has declared us as a brotherhood, as people who live with harmony, with understanding, with tolerance, with generosity. So all these avenues and factors of respect were developed in the month of Ramadan. This was the capacity developing process that we had underwent. And this faculty or aspect of respect is very, very broad, my dear friends. But alhamdulillah, Ramadan al-Mubarak gave us an insight into al-adab. And it is very beautifully said that ad-deenuha, ad-deenu kulluha adab. That this deen of ours is premised on the aspect of adab. Everything in our deen is premised on adab and respect and discipline. And this is an important discipline of the aspect of taqwa that was the primary focus of the month of Ramadan. The next aspect that can be regarded to be an important aspect of taqwa. We are defining and we are unpacking what is taqwa. What does taqwa represent? So we said it represents the aspect of respect and adab. The other important aspect that Ramadan and taqwa represents is the aspect of forgiveness. That a person who has taqwa and has developed the attribute of taqwa learns the attribute of forgiveness. And that is why one of the training formulas of Ramadan is to continuously seek forgiveness. That when a person is revising the formula of forgiveness, it then gives a person the attribute of forgiveness. Like we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. We are asking, oh Allah, forgive me, forgive me. Allah wants us to forgive others. وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَسْفَحُوا اللَّهُمَّ إِنَّكَ عَفُوٌ تُحِبُّ الْعَفْوَ Oh Allah, you are the all-forgiving. I know you will forgive me. I desire your forgiveness. I seek forgiveness from you. Allah says, become a forgiving person. اغفر يغفر لك. If you forgive, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you. So therefore Ramadan al-Mubarak taught us to let go of those things that hold us back from forgiving others. We are human, we live in a human society. We are not robots, we are not angels. And misunderstandings take place. Arguments take place. Differences take place. Conflict must happen. It happened in the time of the Sahaba. It happened among the best of people. It will happen to us. However, the important thing to understand and realize is how do we navigate those differences, those arguments, those difficult situations, and how do we emerge from them? One way is to exacerbate the situation, to enhance and to increase and to make the situation more toxic, and to break down the relationship, and to create more disharmony and unpleasantness and bitterness. And this causes complete fragmentation of the social fabric, of the family relationships, of the marriage, of the association and the bond between those who are supposed to be close to each other. And the other way is to take an understanding position, to take to tolerance. Therefore, one of the most profound verses in the Quran al-Kareem, in terms of human psychology, according to the commentators of the Quran, لَيْسَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ آيَةً أَجْمَلُ وَأَكْرَمْ لِمَكَارِمِ الْأَخْلَاقِ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْآيَةِ This ayah, which is in Surah Al-A'raf, خُذِ الْعَفْوَ وَأْمُرْ بِالْعُرْفِ وَأَعْرِضْ أَنِ الْجَاهِلِينَ This is referred to as the ayah that represents the highest emotional intelligence, the EQ of a person. The true psychology of a person is embedded in the qualities that are mentioned in this ayah. Three phrases, but an ocean of achievement and of good character. Khudil afwa. Have the capacity and the ability to take to forgiveness, to let go, to live and let live, and we will find peace within ourselves. We will lighten our burdens. One of the qualities of a happy person is to have a light back and to have a light belly. A light back does not mean you're not carrying too much of rocks on your back. But it means that a person does not carry the burdens of arguments, of disputes, of relationships on his back. And the other is that a person eats moderately, so that he does not lead him to lethargy and laziness and unproductiveness. So therefore we find that this aspect of forgiveness and afw is something that is very broad and it is very dynamic and it is very deep. And it is one of the takeaways of Ramadan al-Mubarak. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq, my dear friends. It is really a breaker of the ego. It crushes the pride of a person. The quality or the attribute of shaitan was, أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْ. Why must I go to him? Why must I make salam to him? He is in the wrong. He must come to me. I am more pious than him. I am more learned than him. I am so many things. These are the whispers of the ego to a person. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to break that. Allah wants us to crush that. Allah wants us to trample them, to trample the nafs, and to have humility and tawazu. And that brings us to the third factor, and the third takeaway from Ramadan al-Mubarak. And that is the aspect of tawazu and humility. Allahu Akbar. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with humility, my dear friends. The antidote to pride, the antidote to all these things that are plaguing our heart and that are holding us back and that are keeping us stuck in a rut and not allowing us to move forward. The ummah is in dire need, my dear friends, for us to be able to realize ourselves and to move forward and for the communities to empower themselves. We are not going to be able to be active contributors to the ummah if we are hamstrung with our own personal issues. If we cannot find each other in our individual capacities, in our families, in our communities, in our masjids, in our institutions, in our inner circles, how are we going to find the elusive goal of the unity of the ummah? So therefore Ramadan has come to speak to us about this important aspect. That be the humble one. You will not lose anything. You will not lose your respect. You will not lose your honor. In fact, if anything, it comes in a hadith. There are so many hadith sharif, my dear friends. The one who forgives, the one who has humility, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless him with izzat and honor and dignity. Allah will elevate that person. Man tawada'a lillah rafa'ahu Allah. A person who's got tawazu, a person who has humility, Allah will elevate him automatically. How Allah will elevate him, the person will not even know. And وَمَنْ تَكَبَّرَ. But if we want to continue with pride, with ego, with arrogance, with our hatred, with our breakdown, with our bitterness, and we want to stand our ground and our position and our views, then unfortunately, وَدَعَهُ اللَّهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes the downfall of such a person. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala protect us. So my dear friends, in conclusion, we ask Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to revert us back to the basics. We started off saying that taqwa is the building block, it's the foundation, it is the basic of our life. And inshallah, if we can build on whatever we have gained, Allah has given everybody a capacity, a light. And Allah wants us to sustain that light, and Allah wants us to build on it. And it is now our responsibility to look after that light and to preserve it. And inshallah, if we individually build on this, we develop it, then that will ultimately lead to a collective strength. The collective strength of standing in line as one body, as one community, as one ummah. Forgive each other, love each other, help each other, guide each other, uplift each other, honor each other, acknowledge each other. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, and he did himself in so many ways. And inshallah ta'ala, we will be able to develop a strong unit, a strong community, a strong ummah. And then inshallah ta'ala, thereafter, it will be very easy for us to gain that victory, like it was for the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, and the Muslims of the past, when they developed these building blocks and these important attributes, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them the help of the angels and the victory that they so much desired. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله.